This is pulsating in my heart, and I have to say it before I get started because it's prophetically coming to me so strongly. In the women's session that we had today, we spent a lot of time talking about shedding the old wineskin. And we read actually out of the account, Luke's account, and we went back to the meaning of why the Lord Jesus gave the parable of the old wineskin and the new wineskin and the old cloth and the new cloth, and we went through that. The thing that we ended up with, which was certain, is God's intent is to put new wine into us. But the only way that that can happen is if the old dies. So we spoke a lot about putting to death even that very good skin that served its time and its purpose. And I have a sense here today that I can look all over this place and see many of you in transition, even transitions of ministries and territories, lands and houses and nations. And transition is brutal at times. It's not a fun thing. You've forsaken your family or your people or your context, and you've come to a people who aren't your people and all of that. But God is in it. I want to tell you, and I want to tell my sister here, God is in your transition. He's in it. And God is in your transition, Bahama Mama. He's in it. And God's in your transitions that he brings you to. And this is what so strongly, and I'm hearing this so strongly for, particularly Pastor Ralph, in the new wine that comes with the new wineskin, the old yokes must go. Now, if you're like my husband, I'm sorry, I wouldn't believe it. I don't believe anybody will outwork this man. This man does not know how to stop working. He's going to work and 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 work until the last. There's always something he sees that needs to be done, and he's going to go after it. And that is wonderful. But the thing about the new wine is that God wants to bring us into a place of release from those old yokes, even the good disciplines of responsibilities and positions and ministry and functions and. Like, how do you stop being a father? How do you stop being a husband? You can never stop being that. But that whole yoke that comes with it is the thing that gets in the way of the new wine, because it becomes such a responsibility to you in it that we lose sight of the wine that's coming to us as we're functioning in that. And so the Lord wants to make it clear to all of us that as he pours into us afresh and anew, he's going to do that out of his love for us, simply out of his love for us. And because of that, he's jealous that we not be carrying even the things that he entrusts to us that are going to stand in the way of the liberty of his love to renew us and to fill us and to make us have, and this is the word, a fresh abandon. A fresh abandon. In the process of the new wine coming, there needs to be a fresh abandon. You know, how many of you have ever sat down to, you know, just a great cup of tea? And man, it's your leaf, wherever it's from, that you like, and you sit down with that tea, and all of a sudden you're in that zone of just tranquility and peace. And oh, and nothing can invade that, because there is a relief and a restoration that's coming to you from that place, you know? Well, how much more in the presence of the Holy Spirit, without the concepts and the gravitations that we have to the yokes that we carry? The yokes that we carry stand in the way of the refreshing. They stand in the way of the refreshing. We have to find a way that only comes by way of the Spirit to carry those things that he entrusts to us without them being in the way of the refreshing. Now, let me explain it to you this way. Okay, let's pick on poor Debbie. Debbie, a burden for this weekend, carrying it with the other Debbies and all the teams, and didn't they do great? And everybody that's here, right? Well, so here God is moving in everything. But if you're in administration and you have that responsibility, you're just focused on, okay, is this being done? Is that being done? Is the other being done? And the other, and guess what? All the while we're focused on, is this being done? That should be done. The other should be done. I need to do this. I need to do that. Holy Spirit is filling. But because we're so focused on the yoke, we can't receive what he's downloading to us. Right? And so those that are more built that way administratively or more soberly toward what they have responsibility over, we have to focus on receiving what God is going to give us and not allow the yokes to interfere. The other second thing, and these are the two things, the two main things, is the expectations of men or women, however it goes. I'm not trying to be, just in general. Because when you have a yoke and a responsibility, you have that responsibility before others. And when you have that responsibility before others, it interferes with you being able to once again focus. Remember what they said? What's up with your disciples anyway? You know, John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples, they at least fasted. But your boys, yo, man, they're just drinking and having a good old time. What's up with that, you know? Well, guess what? They weren't missing the main thing. And the main thing was they had the bridegroom. That was the main thing. You see, the responsibility of our Christianity, the responsibility of our committed life to Christ, the responsibility of your ministry or your call, your focus on that so much, we will turn out just like those Pharisees and be just like those scribes. And we will not be sons of God, and we will not be imitators of Jesus. See, we have to be aware that the bridegroom is still with us. Though he's not present, he's with us and in us. He was not content to be external God. He determined way before time he would be internal God. He would be an indwelling God. And it was always a lie that Satan stole his line. Well, he's afraid you're going to be like him. It was always his heart that we would be like him. It was always part of his plan that we would be like him. So, yokes. And what other people, the expectations of others, are going to run amok into you receiving the new wine. So as the more we purpose just to love Jesus and to do the John 15 thing, abide in him, abide in him, abide in me, abide in me. Jesus said here, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot. Now, where do grapes come from? The vine. So how are we going to bring forth grapes, and how are we going to have this new wine if we're not abiding? We have to abide in him, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears little fruit. How much fruit? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we can focus on, you know, the responsibility of our faith, or we can focus on the person of our faith and be in receiving the new wine. Because as we focus on the bridegroom, he entrusts to us the things that are most dear and precious to his heart. And the Spirit of God moves in and on us and upon us. But when we're focused on what we bear and what we carry, then we lose focus on receiving the new that God wants to give us. Anybody hearing? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. I was musing in our time together how the Pharisees put John the Baptist on their team, by saying, John the Baptist's disciples, And the Pharisees' disciples don't do what your disciples do. And Jesus made it clear. Well, that's because they have the bridegroom. They're not going to fast. They have the bridegroom. When the bridegroom's leaves, they'll fast. But right now, they're happy. What does that indicative of? That they were receiving from the Lord himself. And then also we know when Acts chapter 2 had come, that's when the new wine, that's when Joel's prophecy became relevant, became zeroed in on that day. But as Ephesians 5 tells us, it is not a one-time baptism. Hello? It's a continual infilling. Don't be drunk with wine as in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal. The Holy Spirit is our GPS. The Holy Spirit is the mark of sonship. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Holy Spirit, it says even, Paul the Apostle, which I love what he says. He says, keep the treasure that is within you by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that actually keeps your faith, helps keep your faith. He told Timothy, there's no way that you can safeguard your faith without the work of the Holy Spirit that's in you. The treasure that you have in you is going to be kept by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the work, the supernatural work of God. By this my Father is glorified that you produce and bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me and also have loved you, abide in my love. We get back to that simplicity. And then this thing I want to just say because I have to really practice this because I get so serious about the things of God. And my husband is great to remind me of this every single day. His demeanor and his personality and the way that he's made up. He is this verse. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy might be full. That my joy would remain in you and that your joy might be full. That is the first outward sign of being filled with new wine, and that's the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord comes when the fresh infilling and a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. There is reason for us to be filled with the Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit continually to make alive the words of Jesus and to give us power to do the work of the Great Commission. Because this thing is not just for us to have goosebumps upon our goosebumps, but the end result is that the lost would be found and that those who have not heard will hear. And I pray they hear from a happy person and not a religious Pharisee and somebody who's just full of all of that, that doesn't save nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So, with that being said, I want to say three things. And then I'm going to turn it over to my husband, and I will follow his lead. This place of renewal is a place where the prophetic ear and mouth is opened. We spoke today. It's a place of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer. It's not an action of prayer. It's a living in prayer. A face raised toward heaven. And a heart honed on God. Always listening for what he's saying. There are many voices, but there's only one voice that's true. And only one that will remain. And with this new visitation and this new wine, church, not only do we have to word up, but we have to grace up. Because God is about had it with all the religious factions. And he's calling for a church who understands that it's a vessel of mercy. And he pours into us this new wine so that we can reach out. Oh, what's up with your disciples? They're eating with sinners and with tax collectors. Have you noticed that about your disciples? Well, thank God. Because how are they going to know? How are they going to know? There is no one perfect, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this new move of God that God is going to do must contain a greater measure of grace. I don't mean sloppy grace for you to get drunk as a skunk and say, well, I'm exercising my liberty. You better get smart and start drinking of the Spirit and forget about those other spirits, because they lead to nothing but other spirits. Hello? But the Holy Spirit, when you drink of the Holy Spirit, things begin to happen. He begins to move. So in this place of visitation, it's where the ear and the eye of the prophetic are opened. In this place of being renewed and being filled, the new wine coming into new vessels and new wineskin, it's a place of awakening where the prophetic comes alive. And all that simply is us, it's a fancy word for you hearing God for yourself, really, and hearing the voice of God and having the scripture come alive to you. And you praying and the Lord saying something to you that's a scripture, and then all of a sudden the revelation of that scripture comes alive, and you read it and you meditate on it, and it goes over and over in your brain, and you say, oh, okay, I'm getting it. So there is the place of visitation, that place of visitation where new wine comes. The ear and the eye of the prophetic are open. The second thing about that place of visitation where that new wine comes in, it's really a birthing room of the kingdom of God. It's where things come to birth that weren't able to birth. The Holy Spirit comes, forgive me for the female analogy, but gives you the push that you were just weary to not have. And then suddenly you're in a place where, because the Holy Spirit is working in you, you're able to birth things into being. There are many visions and many promises that are all throughout here that have not come to pass yet. But yet in 2019, God is going to begin to release some of that. There are some gifts, fivefold gifts, and then there's things regarding your families, children that you've prayed for years that you haven't seen come into the kingdom. This is your year. This is your year where you're going to see them birthed into the kingdom of God. Because in the new visitation and in that new place where you're being filled, God is filling you with fresh faith to believe for the impossible of what wasn't done heretofore suddenly. And it came to pass. This was the day they came home. This is the day they accepted Christ. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. So that's why it's so important to be filled. Be filled continually with the Holy Spirit and come into that place of constant renewal. Remember, we talked in the women's time about four concepts. One was restoration. That means being restored from one state and you're being restored back to that state. Then there's transformation, which means going from one state to another state. And then there's renewal. It's like the refreshing button on your computer. But we all decided we liked resurrection better because you get renewal too. So if you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You got to die. That's the thing about new life. Death has to precede it. And God comes in a powerful ways, in all the ways that matter the most, not the ways that nobody sees, the situations that God has put your life in. And yet, you know what? He put you there. He seated you right where you are to make a difference and to know him and to love him. And out of that intimacy of knowing him and loving him, you can offer that power branch and that power torch to somebody else, because you're continually being filled with the Spirit. Continually being filled with the Spirit. We want all these supernatural things to happen, but we're trying to do it without being filled. Jesus made it perfectly clear. Boys, don't go anywhere until you're endued with power from on high. You can't do anything without the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Wait till you're endued with power from on high. So we need that refreshing so we can do what the Lord's told us to do. But we also need that refreshing so that we might have his joy and that our joy might be full. The Lord never wanted us to be half-baked or half-empty. He wanted us to be full. Full of his word, full of his love, full of his Spirit. full of his spirit. Why is his spirit necessary? Because that is the power of God, working with the word of God within us to make alive those things that need to be alive and to redeem those things that need to be redeemed. So in that place of visitation, in being renewed, remember, it's where the ear and the eye of the prophetic are going to come alive. It's going to be through a lifestyle of prayer. We can remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. You know, he had a vision. Remember? His eye was open. He saw something. And yet, you know what? This guy wasn't a believer yet, was he? Hello? Hello? The word of God just says he was a man who feared God. But he had not accepted Jesus yet. What's up with that? God can't do that. Oh, yeah, he can. That's why we got to not be like those Pharisees and not be like those Sadducees and not be like those scribes and put God in a box and say what God can and can't do and who God can and can't use. Because God's going to show people visions and dreams that aren't even technically saved yet. He's got to start somewhere. He's got to draw them. And we have to be willing to know that God is working in their lives and drawing them out. The place of birthing. The place of birthing, giving birth to the very things that God has called us to bring to birth. It happens in the infilling, in that place of visitation of the Holy Spirit. Then the last thing that I just want to share with you is that it's also this visitation and filling. It's the place and it's the classroom where we learn about the supernatural. It's the classroom where we learn about the supernatural in little ways and in big ways, in ways where God provides, where things happen that we can't imagine. Simple things like going up to the counter in an airport and you're there 3.5 hours ahead and one flight attendant says she's not going to check your bag, and I'm looking at my flight attendant and she's checking my bag. Why is that? Because I looked at her and I said to her, "What nation are you from?" She said, "Somalia." I said, "I knew it." I said, "You know, your country doesn't make any ugly women." She was beautiful. I mean, drop dead gorgeous. A beautiful woman. And I'm looking at her and I'm seeing God's hand all over her. And I just start talking to her. And then my friend who's trying to check her bag, her lady is saying, "No, I'm not taking your bag. You're going to have to wait in the line," and da, 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 da. And she looks at me and she talks to me in Spanish. And she said, "Why is she checking your bag and this one's not checking mine?" I said, "Because this one's got light in her and this one doesn't." I told her in Spanish. "Esta se llena de la luz y esta de la oscuridad." This one's full of darkness, this one's full of light. So I looked at mine and I said, "You know what? I need to be with my friends, so maybe I need to pull my bag back." She said, "No." Right next to her coworker, "I will also check her bag." Now you say, "What is that? That's not anything." Don't tell me. I've had people show up in airports and grab my bag and put me to the front of the line in other countries, and the overseer say to me, "Who was that man that came and took your bag?" I said, "I thought he was somebody from your church." He said, "I've never seen that man before." I said, "Neither have I." He said, "Where did he go?" I said, "He went up in the clouds with the other ones." And we just laughed because he disappeared. We didn't see him after that. What is that? That is God working with us and seeing the supernatural things of God come about. Things happen. It's the place. It's so important for us to be infilled with the Holy Spirit and to always be not, don't live on the dregs. When I was younger, I used to drive at times on fumes. When I got wiser, I don't drive on fumes anymore. I see it. I put as much quick as I can, see it on a quarter of a tank. I get it to that gas station because I feel like my youth tested God. And now that I'm older, I'm not interested in testing God. Because I'm more fearful of God now than I was when I was younger. When I was younger, I took him for granted. Now that I'm a little bit more seasoned, I respect him and revere him more boldly. And so therefore, I don't live on dregs. And I don't drive on fumes. There's no faith in that. Actually, there's lack of faith. There's lack of faith. So as the Church of Jesus Christ, God has called you to ensure that your prophetic ear and eye are opened. Where is that? In the visitation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God wants to bring to birth through you in this year his purposes. How are you going to ensure that you're bringing to birth and that you have strength to bring forth? You're going to be filled with new wine. You're going to ensure that that's what you're filled with. And what else? You're going to learn and grow in the supernatural. And that's going to happen by you being in the flow of the new wine, where you can speak those things that were not as if they were, and they come into being. Because it's in that place where God wants to move his church and usher in a new generation. How are we going to show our children in the faith and our biological children the manifest presence of God and his power to save and to heal and his power to move? Jeff will tell you that our daughters were raised naturally, yet supernaturally. Because my husband is a Nehemiah, we were always building things which called for material, which called for money. So we prayed for material and we prayed for money. And our daughters walked with us in the school of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. I share this testimony, and I was so thrilled that my brother knows my sister, because before my sister was born, when we were in South America, Argentina, for me and my house, for my family of faith, my parents, spiritual parents and biological parents, they taught me the supernatural. And it wasn't some do-do-do-do-do-do Susie Space Cadet kite in the sky thing. Why does the supernatural happen? Because there are natural needs that need to be met. Why does the supernatural happen? Because there needs to be somebody's name up in light. No, because somebody needs healing. The supernatural happens because there is a need. And the need is not a fleshly one in the sense of the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. That's not why it happens. It happens because there is a need. I will never forget being 5 years of age in Argentina and being at the dinner table. And my father was at the head of the table. And my mother was to the right. My older sister, 10 years older than I, was to the left. And my brother, 7 years older. Then I was the last one down at this end, 7 years younger than my brother. And my father said, we're going to give thanks for this food. That's not flamboyant, is it? Aren't we to pray and ask the Lord to give us our daily bread, right? Weren't we taught that when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray? And I'll never forget being at that table and my father saying, we're going to thank the Lord for the food. And I'm looking at the table and there's plates, but there's no food. Not only is there no food, there's no smell of food. And how many of you know when you have food, smell precedes it? There was no smell of food in the house. And my father was thanking the Lord for the food that was set before us. And I'll never forget opening my eyes and looking at this stuff that my dad was praying for, thinking like, what is he praying for? There's nothing on the table. And I looked up, and my sister, who was like my second mother, she caught me and she said, close your eyes. And I closed my eyes, My father goes on, Lord, we thank you for this food. We thank you that you are a provider. And he began to state all the things, what he was thanking. He thanked the Lord for meat. He thanked the Lord for calabaza. He thanked the Lord for all these things. And I open my eyes again, and I'm squinting because I don't want to be rebuked again by my sister. How many sisters in the house know what I'm talking about? Who's got an older sister who doesn't want the older sister to get her one more time? Not going to get hit one more time. I open my eyes, she got me again. Close your eyes. My father thanked the Lord for all of this food, and I'm sitting there going, my dad, God bless him. He's believing, but there is no food on the table, and there's no smell of food in the house. About that time, knock comes on a door. The door opens. There stands this maid with a flat silver dome platters like you see in the movies, and she tells my father in Spanish that her mistress told her to come and bring the family its dinner tonight. And he said, thank you. And now my mouth is on the floor now. But I learned something that day. I learned that God knew my dad. And when my dad prayed, God listened. The next encounter I had, so real, to understand when a man really walks with God, knows God, and God listens, was when Jeff and I were in the birthing room of our second daughter, and the cord was around her neck, and she was in trouble. And my husband put his big hand on my big fat belly, and he declared that that child would live. Not die. I knew it before, but I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm married to a man who knows God. And when he prays, God listens. But it comes from the place of communion, and it comes from the place of intimacy. And it comes from the place of our focus being on receiving the infilling and not on the yokes that we have to carry and not the expectation of our brothers and sisters that will let us know and remind us what we're supposed to be doing. Because when it all gets down to it, Jeff and I say this to each other, it's you and me, honey. It's me and you. So God has called us in this year to hear and to see, to bring to birth, and to grow and learn how to live as a people who live in the supernatural. Not because it's a really big show, not because we want to be known, but because we believe in a living God. Would you raise your hands with me for a moment? Father, here are our lives. We've buried our old wineskins. They're not sufficient for the year to come. We commit them to you here at this committal service, at this sanctuary, in this hallowed ground. And we bury them, not to lean on the arm of the flesh. We don't recycle them. We let them go. We let them die. We thank you for what they were. But we now know this is a new day and a new way and a new visitation and a new habitation. And we will be vessels in whom the glory dwells. And we will be filled anew with the Holy Spirit. And we will be filled with new wine. Because, Lord, you have seen it fit to be so. And, Lord, your word said that people want to hold on to the old wine. They savor it. But Lord, I'm reminded of your word in John chapter 2, where they ran out of wine. And you took what was ordinary water. And in the draw of the obedient servant, it was turned into wine. In the draw of the obedient servant, who went to serve it to the master of the wedding. And his words were, you save the best wine until last. And so, Lord, we know that you have saved for us the best wine. The wine that's needed for this hour in our lives. The wine that's needed for all those that we're going to pour into. The wine that's needed for the lost. The wine that's needed for the ministries and the calls that you've given us. The families first that you've entrusted to us. Lord, may there be a fresh flow out of our vessels. Pour out from your heaven. Give way and pour out into these vessels that have been made new. The old is no good anymore. We are not going to worship around the old. Even though we thank you for it, it had its purpose in its day. But we will not live on the dregs of yesterday, nor will we memorialize the things that contained it. But we will bury it, and we will see you make us alive and anew so that we can be fit for your use. Open up our eyes and our ears. Cause us to be purposed to give birth to your kingdom life. And cause us to grow in the realm of the supernatural so that we're receiving our meals when there is no food. And that our children can see that yet again, there are people who know God, who that when they seek their God, he answers. In Jesus' name, amen.